The following programming is sponsored by Bloomer's Home and Garden Center. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Welcome to Bloomers in the Garden. I'm Len Schroeder.
And I'm Julio Zamora.
Today, we have special guests in the studio, Wendy Komencheck, the landscape writer. Wendy is a freelance garden writer from Pennsylvania, and we'll learn all about Wendy in our first segment.
Arthur, a listener from West Milford, New Jersey, called the hotline and was having potting soil problems. Listen in during our second segment.
So many new plants, but when is a plant legitimately new? Wendy has written extensively on new plants and will join the conversation in our third segment.
Many of our customers are lured by the web looking for plants that are not hardy in our region. Not only that, but most plant care articles are written regionally and may not apply to your area. We'll discuss it during our fourth segment.
Julio and I often talk about the garden passport. There are 36 extraordinary public gardens within 30 miles of Philadelphia. We'll discuss our favorites in our final segment.
So stay tuned, and we'll be right back in the garden with special guest, the landscape writer, Wendy Komencheck, right after these messages. Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice, turning brown thumbs green, for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden. Fertilome's Triple Action contains 70% neem oil and 0.25% pyrethrins as a concentrate and ready to spray. It is an insecticide, fungicide, and miticide labeled to use on vegetables, fruits, nuts, herbs, spices, and ornamentals. This organic OMRI-listed product controls a wide variety of insect pests and diseases, including aphids, scale, spider mites, white flies, rust, leaf spot, and powdery mildew. This insecticide is an all-in-one bottle that will cure just about any problem you may run into throughout the year. Fertilome's Triple Action has been helping gardeners across the country for years. Best to apply in late evening and early morning hours. Mix 1 ounce, which is equivalent to 2 tablespoons in a gallon of water. The best part is, Triple Action may be used up to the day of harvest. So, the next time you are visiting your favorite garden center, ask for Fertilome's Triple Action and expect to have the best-looking plants in the neighborhood.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or see and hear us by subscribing to Bloomers' YouTube channel. Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley every Saturday. First, wake up with us at 6 a.m. on WNWR The Word at 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. Tune in at 8 a.m. to Bloomers in the Garden Radio on Talk 860 WWDB. A rebroadcast of Bloomers in the Garden Radio is played each Saturday evening at 5 p.m. on The Word, 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard throughout the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden. Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Welcome, Wendy.
Welcome.
I'll tell you, you write for one of my favorite garden magazines. It's a trade publication that is, it's not for homeowners. It's geared for nurseries and garden center owners and such, called Green Profit. Mm-hmm. How did you get that gig? And I'm curious. Yeah. How did you start?
Well, first of all, I am a member of Garden Communicators International. And during COVID, they had their conference online. Mm-hmm. So what I did was, they have a section called Meet the Editor. So I checked out the editors I wanted to meet. and kind of ask them more what their needs were. Usually we try to pitch ideas, but I was more interested in writing for them and their needs rather than coming up for ideas that may or may not fit them. Mm-hmm. So from there, that was about, I guess, about 2 years ago. And throughout the time, I became more of a frequent freelancer for them. They had a column called On the Road, which I'm doing today with you.
Okay.
And what I do is I first scope out garden centers in the area, and I'm going outside of the Lancaster area now to reach people in New Jersey and all that. So I pitched this idea to my editor when she was scheduling my articles for the year, and she said she really wanted me to do this. So here I am.
Oh, wow. Great. Well, we love having you.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because we're kind of turning the tables on you.
Yes.
Yeah. Usually you're interviewing us or other garden center owners or garden centers, and here we are interviewing you. 10 years doing this.
Yes, yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's great.
Actually, I've been freelancing for over 20 years, wow. But I started a blogging B2C type of business where I serve landscape designers and lawn care owner operators, their businesses. So I write blogs for the businesses that go to their consumers or their ideal clients.
Okay. I understand that. I read somewhere where you said about this, about yourself, that I'm a high level introvert, hence I'm a writer.
Yeah.
We're going to do our best to make you an extrovert today.
Yes, that's right.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. as far as like landscaping and garden centered, I mean, maybe I'm a snob. I don't know, but they're two different businesses.
Yes.
Very unique, where it's landscape on the property there where we've got to draw every customer in to our business. And some of the things that you're writing about are pretty technical.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you get your information? How do you glean all that? How do you get that into your head and then get it out into something short?
Well, fortunately, in the early days, Penn State had a lot of free articles, and they were written by Peter Landshut and a couple other people that I knew from interviewing for Turf Magazine, which is a lawn care landscaping trade magazine. And that's where I got my start. So fortunately, I've done that. And I also use my property as a lab. And what's made it better, too, is my son is a landscape designer. He graduated from Penn College a year and a half ago. And so he tells me, Mom, where are you going to put that plant? Mom, that plant can't go there.
Yeah.
And enough with the strawberries.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
Well, if you're looking on YouTube, we have actually wild strawberry, native strawberry, sitting in front of Wendy.
Right.
If you really want
to. And I'm not allowed to have it.
You're not. All right.
Yeah.
Where do you fall on the organic gardener side? Are you militant organic gardener? Or are you?
For me personally, I am more, I wouldn't say militant. I hate to go completely black and white because I think there's always some kind of middle ground. In my yard, I don't use pesticides. I did start using weed control for my vegetable gardens because I am surrounded by farmland. And so we get all the seeds and the birds and all that kind of thing. So I do need some help fighting the weeds, especially as I get older. Hardcore weeding is getting hard on the back.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right. How about natives and nativars?
Wow. I like natives. I have a lot of coneflowers. I have black-eyed Susans, and I try to go native.
Mm-hmm.
Nativars, a little bit, not too much. And I've noticed that when I have had nativars, they eventually go back to being natives because of the genetics. And I'm not a scientist, so if somebody listens to this and say, well, she's completely wrong, you may be right. But I have noticed after years, it kind of goes back to the old.
If it recedes and does that, sure, I can absolutely see that. At the point where we're at, because we're retailers and we need to inspire our customers to do more in their yards.
Mm-hmm.
Natives for us and Julio have this conversation all the time. It's just so hard sometimes. It's like it will do well. It'll grow well. We joke on the radio show all the time about how it's like, all right, I've got this great plant. It's a bright yellow, cheery flower, and then it gets a plume on top of it, and it has wide leaves, and it grows reliably every year. And I think that should be sold in a pot with a price, but they have to get a better name than dandelion.
Exactly. Euphemisms is what they need.
Yeah, that's right. One thing about proven winners, whoever is naming the proven winner plants, I think that's half the battle.
Yes. They're talented. Those writers who do come up with the names are extremely talented.
Oh, my gosh. It's in the beginning with proven winners, you know. I hate to say this because I very much like proven winner plants, but they were like proven losers, you know. But they have gotten so much better with their genetics that, I mean, I really like the proven winner plants that they're coming out with. But it's also, don't forget, there are other plants.
Right.
And that in the segments coming up, we're going to talk about how, like, there are some folks that have new plants and some that they're really not new plants or just repackaged.
Right.
You know? And as far as natives go, like, natives drive me crazy. They drive me crazy because they don't ever really have a great impulse at the shelf. At the garden center.
Yeah.
Like in front of us, I have to laugh because I picked it up and Centerton Nursery, progressive, great nursery. You know, the Blue family has got a great history and a great story. And that Centerton Nursery has come out with a new series of native plants that are specifically labeled, because a lot of people come in, where are your natives? Can you have natives? Like, well, that's a native. The other one over there is a native.
Right.
But where they have it so that it can be grouped together, mm-hmm. and that you can sell them as a collection of natives. So you can pick any one of those plants are native, and it's great. I have here in the studio, and again, if you go onto YouTube, you go ahead and subscribe, you'll see I have wild strawberry. So in the nursery, the people that are looking for natives are great. And then I have this another man who's coming at Bloomers to find the thing to kill it because it's inside his lawn. He can't get out of his lawn. I have this wild, looks like strawberry growing all through my lawn.
Yeah, right.
One man's native is another man's weed.
And that's what it is.
But yeah. Hey, I don't, anybody who's gardening and putting the work in, You go for it. That's what we like. And I love the fact where Dr. Armitage, who's got such a great reputation, came up with the whole nativar thing.
Yes.
How about bees?
I like bees.
You like bees?
And they're not as scary as people think.
No.
I do plant for the bees. I feel like I have a responsibility.
So
we do a lot of pollinator gardens at home. I have bee balm in there and phlox, and just other plants where it's going to attract them. And I also attract interesting moths, like the moth that is like a hummingbird.
Okay.
If anybody's ever seen that,
that is really incredible
to watch. And we have hummingbirds and whatnot, and they like the natives as well. I don't like having to clean and do all the sugar syrup kind of thing, but they will come to my porch or into my front garden where there are lots of natives. I had Joe Pieweed. I have...
I almost brought Joe Pieweed with me. I should have instead of the strawberry.
Yeah.
So is your garden naturalistic more so than you know, formal?
Yes, unfortunately. My son just totally hates my landscaping.
Oh, is he? Okay.
He says, why are you doing this?
And, really?
But I do want... and that's because he's trained and he works for a company that they want... You know,
right.
He wants things formal. I want it more naturalistic. I want to turn my lawn into a meadow. And he said, absolutely not.
I understand that. Julio, every time we talk lawns, we talk about Julio and the fact that he has zoysia grass.
Yeah, I know.
All right, that's enough.
Yeah, that's it's still brown in spots.
I know. Yes. It's okay, Julio. We still love you. But we don't love your lawn. Anyway, but where... I always love the fact that where it's trying to expand things and make things different. I saw a recent advertisement from, I don't know if it was a nursery or it was somebody where it was saying, get rid of your lawn.
Right.
And it was a thing, try to eliminate grass and things. And I as I get older and I don't cut my grass, I don't think I've ever cut my grass. But anyway, that where I just want less lawn. I'd love to have a section where it just had, like, say, just unique azaleas and rhododendrons, and love to just to put a pathway through that and get rid of, I don't know, 5,000 square foot of lawn just devoted to that.
Right.
Yeah. You know? But rather than, you know, my kids are all older. They're not going out there to play football anymore.
Right. Yeah. You know?
So, but it's all of this talk that we're having right now confuses the poor, inexperienced, first-time gardener. They don't know what to do. It's like they often come in and they're not sure. They don't want to be on the wrong side of, like, well, I've got to be all organic and I have to, and like you have just said, sometimes you can't find everything organic. I think I would describe myself that I'm going organic first unless it doesn't work.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. And I also am very wary about invasive plants, especially since we live close to a state, we live close to state game land. So we don't want to encourage more invasive plants into our woodlands. So,
Bradford pear is going to save the universe. And what it did is it took over. Every field it's going to get into.
Yeah.
Who would have known? Who would have known? New Jersey just had a, and actually the governor wouldn't sign it. It was, they approached him with a list of invasive plants. Mm-hmm. And he basically said, like, look, we have a department for that. We don't need your list. And, but some of the things that were on there were like English ivy.
Yeah.
I'm like, I understand, but I also know, like, do you have a ground cover that'll grow in the shade and really needs no care? And and it's just, some of the plants were just good. Like, I have a thing, Lithrum. Mm-hmm. I love Lithrum. Absolutely love Lithrum. But yet, it's an invasive plant in, is it Pennsylvania invasive? Maryland, I know it is. But it's a beautiful, perennial, reliable, comes back.
Flowers a lot.
You can use it as a cut flower. Yeah, but there are sometimes where, you know, Norway maples.
Yes.
Norway maples. I get that. I get that. Yeah. Silver maples. I have that problem.
Yes.
From my neighbor.
Yes.
Tree of Heaven.
That's another one.
And that, which is the major food source for spotted lanternfly.
Right.
How about spotted lanternfly? Did you, in your neighborhood in Lancaster area, is it an issue as much as it was?
It can be, yes. But now the birds are starting to realize that this is a food source.
Right.
Thank goodness. we did, I felt like back when it was first starting, it was like, the reaction was similar to the ash borer, where you're like, oh my goodness, it's going to kill all our maple trees.
Right.
Well, I had three maple trees on my property, and they love my red maple. So they'll go, you'll see them and stuff. And it's hard to, you know, keep them off. So it fortunately did not hurt our red maple. And now I'm letting the birds figure it out, because we tried the tape, and I feel so guilty for this because a baby wren got stuck.
Oh,
and I felt horrid. And I heard other people saying that these birds are getting stuck. And I'm like, that's
that
it.
Too.
We're not doing any more of that. We'll just take the risk.
Yeah. I think it's improving. I don't think it's as Emily Schlackhammer was on the show when it first was here. And she, you know, and rightly so, put the scare into us, and we've, you know, told our customers, and get ready, because it's in Pennsylvania. Julio and I, we were in a different studio in a different building. They were crawling up the building. And I can remember.
Like an army.
And then walking out, they were in the parking lot that I felt like I was Moses parting the Red Sea.
So they are obnoxious, especially in the early days.
Yeah.
They were
but
tough.
I haven't seen that for 2-3 years.
Yeah.
So hopefully we're getting a handle on it. All right. We probably should have taken a break about 10 minutes ago. But we're going to take that break now, and we'll be right back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. Game in the vegetable garden? With 90 years of organic gardening experience, the Espoma Company has you covered. Espoma Organic Garden Tone is not your average garden variety fertilizer. Garden Tone is especially blended for organic vegetable gardens. Its all-natural formula contains Biotone, a blend of organic ingredients that supplies essential nutrients for strong, healthy plants and mouth-watering vegetables. Its slow-release formula provides continuous feeding. The Biotone contained in Garden Tone is a combination of organic ingredients and beneficial microbes to help roots grow deeper and faster for bigger, more bountiful harvests. Garden Tone is simple to use and safe for people, pets, and the planet. No harmful chemicals or synthetic fertilizers are ever added. You can find Garden Tone at fine garden centers. Visit Espoma.com to find a retailer near you. Garden Tone from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Last year, millions of Americans asked the internet about protecting their lawns and gardens. There's one simple answer: BioAdvanced. Because gardeners have trusted the Blue Bottle for decades. Invasive insects? Blue Bottle. Lawn fungus? Blue Bottle. Japanese beetles? Blue Bottle. A BioAdvanced answer for every question and guaranteed solutions for every problem. BioAdvanced. Get more from the Blue Bottle. BioAdvanced All-in-One Rose and Flower Care controls insects and diseases, plus feeds.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Arthur, a listener and container gardener from West Milford, New Jersey, called the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. He was struggling with one of his containers. Listen to his call.
My name's Arthur, and I am primarily a container gardener. And every year I set out a number of containers. And this year, one of the containers apparently did not grow. I used fresh potting soil and starting mix and on it. And I noticed the plants came up very slowly. They basically did not come up fully. And they appeared to die off. And I noticed that there were like black flies that were all over the plants. They're like, I guess they could be, I don't know if they're mayflies or whatever. They're tiny little like gnat flies that were all over the soil and all over the plants. But only the one container. And I was just wondering if there's a solution to that, or there's something I'm doing wrong, or, any advice you could provide would be greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Julio, you spoke with Arthur.
Mm, I did.
Arthur, what was he growing? Do you know, was it vegetables or was it flowers?
He didn't tell me.
He didn't tell you?
Yeah.
But he said where he got his soil.
Yes, he did.
And that was?
ShopRite. Yes.
You got what you paid for, Arthur.
That's right.
But Wendy and I, quick, she saw and it was like, ShopRite. If you can, you're just going to struggle with this, not just now, but later. And even if you do what we prefer you didn't do, is use your soil for next year. It's probably closer to what Martha Stewart has been calling dirt. I got a pet peeve with Martha. Have you seen the Miracle-Gro commercial yet?
I haven't.
Oh, my gosh. It's soil, Martha, not dirt. Anyway, but what you got, Arthur, is you got dirt.
Yeah,
dirt. The soils that you'll see at ShopRite are often enticing to be inexpensive. A lot of times they come from companies that actually recycle mulch and brush and things and create mulch and dyed mulch and things like that. When they get to the bottom of the pile, they've got rotted mulch. And sometimes that's sold as soil. Like, I can't find farm soil. I can't find farm soil any longer. And that what I'm finding is, like, we're doing a lot. And I saw an article that you read or you wrote, Wendy, that was, you called it mushroom mulch.
Yes.
And we call it mushroom soil.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
You know? And that we actually, if my world was perfect, I would have a blend of half true loam and mushroom soil blended. And that's what I would not put in my pots, but that's what I would put in my garden. Mm-hmm. So what's happened is that all of the bulk mulch or the bulk soil that you're getting are coming from these recyclers. Mm-hmm. And that remember that they can put up to 20% demolition wood in their mulches. So where am I going with this? The bag soil from ShopRite stinks. Mm-hmm. Just saying. Coast of Maine is probably one of the best soils that you can buy. Fox Farm, another one of the best soils that you can buy. Master Nursery has their soils and that their line of soils and their recipe that is filled by Coast of Maine. So when you buy a Master Nursery, say Gardener's Gold potting soil, that is a Coast of Maine soil. And it is superior to anything. I mean, they are so strict. And I think you know Cameron from Coast of Maine or
I might have interviewed him. I've interviewed so many people over the years.
I can imagine. I can imagine.
If I met you, Cameron, I am sorry that I don't remember.
All right. That's all right. Cameron is Cameron's an interesting dude, let's just say. Very interesting. But the Coast of Maine product to me. Espoma okay. soils. You know, I'm watching it. We just got past Memorial Day weekend, and I'm watching sales, and I'm looking at people's carts, and I'm seeing what they're buying. And Espoma soils.
Yes.
It is nice, fluffy.
It is. Mm-hmm.
They are so strict, and like Jeremy is the, I guess, president, owner, whatever you want to call it, of Espoma. And that he has taken that organic pledge and has really run with it. And go out, Coast or Espoma, go out and get their soils. Get rid of that other soil and let's start.
Dirt.
You know, the other dirt. And also, how's your drainage? If you've got, you know, you may have fungus gnats, you may have some other things there that without seeing it, it's hard to say, but it sounds like fungus gnats. What to do is you need some drainage. And how, you know, we used to say use stone on the bottom of your pot, you know, and it's like, it doesn't make them any lighter. Let's recycle and use, like, if you get shipping, everybody's getting stuff from Amazon. If they are shipping anything that has styrofoam peanuts in it, use styrofoam peanuts in the bottom because that will give you that airspace that the root system needs. And it also will give you the drainage that you need so that it flows out the bottom of the pot. Also, if you have your pots outside and you're putting them on top of soil, that may plug up the drainage holes. So maybe lift them up. You can use some stone. You can use a couple pavers. You can use pot feet, but just lift them up a little bit so they drain a little better. And that's what you're really looking for. Mm-hmm. Good job. Julio, what did Arthur say anything else in your conversation?
No, he did.
No.
Again,
container gardens. Container, and he said, and like he said on his call, complete container garden, more and more and more people we're getting that are just, that's it. I'm not growing a full garden. I'm going to grow, you know, three or four tomato plants, two or three pepper plants. I guess it's maybe, you know, hot, mild, and sweet, you know. And then a couple of other things. Mm-hmm. But, again, use good soil, and that you won't go wrong. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. All right, Wendy, you might be blamed for this because you do promotional writing. Some of the older older quality plants are getting rebranded and given a facelift, but they may be like 30 years old. It's not like it's a brand new plant. Mm-hmm. How many reblooming hydrangeas do we need? I think we've hit maximum. I think we're at our list. Heuchera. Do we need another red-leafed heuchera? Burgundy leaf. I don't think so. Hosta?
Hosta? Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. Well, dude, all the Hans variety we got this year, that was pretty sharp.
It is sharp.
Yeah. But we've joked, Julio and I, about how, can you just get out of the H's.
Yes, you know? Yes, that's true.
Right, can we move on? Yes. Maybe do something new?
Yeah.
We'd love to promote new plants. And just recently I got the firefly petunia, which is, again, it glows in the dark. And wow. It really does. It's so cool. And like, I mean, if you're a non-GMO thing, you'll hate it because they took the DNA from a iridescent mushroom and a petunia and crossed it.
Wow.
And I mean, I was so excited. I sent my kids the video, and I sent Aaron and Julio and all of our management team a video. And Aaron, of course, it's all blurry. It actually was glowing in the dark. I couldn't believe it. It's like, this is a petunia. It glows in the dark. It's not like, you know, like a nightlight.
Right.
But it's like, oh my gosh, the buds. I see it, and I see why they named it Firefly. Hydrangea clip. What do you think? The red leafed hydrangea.
Yes, there's a.
You know.
I don't know. I can't speak to that one.
Yeah.
I see the new stuff coming out. I think it's National Garden Bureau.
Right.
They're very active on GardenCom, and I mm-hmm. do read the newsletters and stuff. But sometimes it's flying at me so fast, and then I got to get off to something else and. But I think I have heard of these firefly petunias back in January because that's when they bring all these new varieties out for us
and
in the industry.
And USDA went and made it that it's okay to sell. And that was the big deal. And it was an article in one of the trade journals.
Right.
And I followed up and I actually contacted our annual growers, a couple of our bigger annual growers, and said, hey, I'll do a trial at my house. You take some of the plugs and grow them.
Right.
Plugs are $40 a piece.
Wow.
They didn't call me back.
Ah.
I don't blame them. But I was able to get them myself online.
Wow.
My sister, who lives in South Carolina, I had told her about it, and I told her my excitement about how they actually did glow in the dark rather than just being, you know, false promise. She went and bought some, and she's going to trial them, and that she actually owned my parents' garden center. Now her kids run that up in North Jersey. And that where... amazing. And trying, like you said, trying to keep up with the new plants mm-hmm. that are legitimately new. Mm-hmm. We had a great talk in the fall with Dr. Michael Durr about all the new plants that he's involved with and bringing to market. I get excited that I am a plant geek and I love new plants, and maybe that's why I have such a hard time with natives. You know, it's like they're hey, if they're a weed with a good label and they sell, I love them.
Yeah,
you know, that's what matters. But I, Julio, what as far as new plants that came into bloomers or stuff, what do you think?
Oh, the newer types. You know, we have so many new hydrangeas. You know, people are asking for, you know, smaller plants too.
Right.
And, you know, I think one of the biggest hit in hydrangeas has been Bobo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've had that came out,
a couple of years ago.
Yeah. And it's still strong.
But it's getting some
legs. I'm having people, you know, say, oh, I love this plant.
Wendy, how about you? Do you have a favorite or something that, like, that is different or that...
I'm trying to think in my garden what I have. For our area, maybe not so unique. And it's not one of these new and unique cultivars, but I have a passion for like Joe Pye weed and stuff. We can't get that at our garden centers in Lancaster.
Really?
I have to I order through Bluestone Perennial to get them.
All right.
And, I just love them. So I don't know if that's really answering your question.
No, it is. It is. Hey, there's no wrong answer in gardening. You know?
And I have to share this too. I have collected swamp milkweed mm-hmm. seeds from a local wetlands area.
Right.
And I planted them in my garden, so I have monarchs, caterpillars going nuts, and they go, they just pop up everywhere. And it's kind of funny because I'm sure my neighbors think, man, she's a crazy gardener.
Well, that's all right. Dedicated.
Right, yeah.
Dedicated. What's interesting is the best milkweed grows along the New Jersey Turnpike.
Mm-hmm. But it smells so good. It smells like, I'm sorry. One of these days I'm going to smell in a bumblebee and have a real problem.
Yeah. So many people, we talked a little bit about bees, where so many people are afraid of bees. Like, I'll go up to a bumblebee that's busy and I'll like pet its back. And like people will look like, what are you doing? Like Sandy, who works at Bloomers, we've talked about her on air before. Her husband Artie, terrified.
Oh, is he
terrified of bees? But he's from Brooklyn.
Yeah, he's a city guy.
A tree does. You know, trees don't grow in Brooklyn. No, wait, that is a tree grows in Brooklyn. Anyway, but bees. I've got carpenter bees.
Yes,
I'm not real happy about
crazy
that.
About those.
Yeah, I'm not real happy about that. I have to figure out how to deal with that. But anyway, but most bees, leave them alone.
Yeah.
Leave them alone.
And they'll leave you alone too.
Right.
Pretty much.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to sit there and bug it, it's going to, but they really, and I understand too that if you're listening and you have a severe bee allergy, that's a different story altogether. We're not talking about you guys for that, but overall, they're not going to attack you. I know children can be very scared and whatnot, but if we try to teach them that you're okay, you're not going to necessarily get stung.
Right. And I don't know, Aaron, you watching anything? Like, it's on Netflix. Bridgerton?
I've heard of it. I haven't really
anybody? Julio? Yeah, I know that you don't watch TV, so you're no fun. but Bridgerton is, it's Sandra Rhimes, I think, it's the producer.
Yeah, the lady from Scandal.
Yeah, I
know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
I read her books.
Oh, yeah?
Say Yes.
Say
the
Yes?
The Year of Saying Yes. Yeah, anyway, it's good.
Right.
But back to bees. They had the character in who is, this is like, I don't know, 1800s, whatever, big flowing dresses and whatever, arranged marriages. Anyway, but the father is with the son, and the father gets bit by a bee and he dies. No, it's because they didn't have an EpiPen handy back then. So, you know, again, that was on last night's episode. Yeah, I'm forced to watch it. Anyway, but that's another show. But again, it's trying to get just the excitement of gardening is essential. And I think that it's the independent garden center's job to build that excitement and to, you know, right plant, right place, all of those things. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do.
Yep.
That's what we do. And again, going to your local garden center, Arthur, if you went to your local garden center, you wouldn't have an issue your pots. But I'm not putting blame on you. I'm just putting that it's hard because what's the first thing you think of, you know, local gardens? Oh, they're expensive.
Oh, yeah.
They're expensive, but generally they actually just have a nice and beautiful store and that they aren't that much more than, say, a Home Depot or a Lowe's or a ShopRite.
Sometimes we're less.
Yeah, that's true. You know? That's true. Our proven winners are
and
less.
Your plants will last. And when you go to an independent garden center, you can also ask the people because they'll know what they're talking about versus you go to Lowe's or Home Depot or even Walmart, they're not going to know it. I don't know.
I'm in lumber. The poor guy in millwork, he gets pushed around everywhere. It's like, I'm in millwork. I don't know. I don't even know what millwork is. Anyway. All right. We got to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Looking to get rid of those broadleaf weeds? Fertilome's weed-free zone is a broadleaf post-emergent weed killer that kills 80 of the toughest broadleaf weeds in lawns and other areas in your yard. Fertilome's weed-free zone is a fast-acting product. It's a cool weather performer in the 45 to 90 degree range. Fertilome's weed-free zone is excellent for those tough weeds, including poison ivy, henbit, Virginia buttonweed, wild violet, thistle, dandelion, chickweed, spurge, and ground ivy. Fertilome's weed-free zone is the go-to tough weed killer in the Fertilome product line, a proven cool weather performer you must have.
So,
the next time you visit your local independent garden center, ask for Fertilome's weed-free zone and expect to have the best lawn and landscape in the neighborhood.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or see and hear us by subscribing to Bloomers' YouTube channel. Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley every Saturday. First, wake up with us at 6 a.m. on WNWR The Word at 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. Tune in at 8 a.m. to Bloomers in the Garden Radio on Talk 860 WWDB. A rebroadcast of Bloomers in the Garden Radio is played each Saturday evening at 5 p.m. on The Word, 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard throughout the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. So many customers come in to Bloomers enthusiastic about a new plant they ran across. All too often, we have to tell them it will not grow in our area. That is a lot of times that I hear that.
Every weekend.
Yeah.
Every weekend. And then the worst part is they have their phone and it's like, you see it?
You see it?
It's like, no. It's like, oh, I guess that's your husband? So anyway, I on my phone, and if Aaron, I don't know, can you do something to see this picture?
Yeah, I can add it to the broadcast.
See this right here?
Oh, it's lovely.
It is not hardy at all. It's zoned like 9.
Wow.
And of course, I had a friend saying, hey, can you get me this? Do you have this?
Yeah.
Do you have this? Mm-hmm. And that it is not hardy at all. It's a house plant. Mm-hmm. It's a house plant. So they're looking somewhere, maybe Florida. And it's just like, we get it all the time. Like Julio said, maintenance. I mean, you do so much research. You must see that all the time where the maintenance is just off because you're reading something that's made for someone in California,
right,
or Arizona, and that you can't apply it to New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, Maryland, Delaware, Virginia.
Right. You need to know your growing zones.
Right.
And the internet. And also, you don't know who you're buying it from. I know I did mention an online retailer, but I trust them. I've seen them. And I know Joe Pye Weed will grow in my area.
Oh, yeah.
So because I know all that, and my garden centers, my local independents, did not sell it. I mean, I've looked. And so that's why I had to go that. But usually I rather go to an independent garden center,
mm-hmm,
because you guys know what it is. You know the growing zone. You're only selling plants that will be growing in this area. So then you want plants that live long time. You don't want to keep on replacing them because that gets expensive.
Right, right. We do sell a lot of tropicals. And we always get it. It's like, well, I've got my warranty. And that's like, whoa, you got a warranty for an azalea. Look, the tropical hibiscus do not live here, and that we're always clear about that. It's not where we, you know, it's at Bloomers, our warranty is that we guarantee all woody, hardy plants.
Mm-hmm.
And we guarantee, our warranty says, as we guarantee them to live, it's up to you to make them thrive.
Yeah. Exactly.
So if they just don't look good, sorry, you need to turn that around, and you can do it, and we can help.
And when you look at the tag, too, like one time I bought curry, an herb that I wanted to grow, but it said tender perennial. I asked somebody about that, and they said, well, bring it in during the fall. You don't want it out during the summer. The same thing with jasmine and all that. You bring it in and make sure you have space with a sunny window.
Right.
And don't overwater it either.
Right.
One of the things we do, not only knowledge, is we're teaching our customers.
Right.
Right.
You know, and how to plant correctly, how to water correctly. You know, right. we do it on the show here, but you know, we do it specifically in our garden center.
Right. For tutors.
Yeah.
Yes. For garden tutors. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're getting education when you go to your garden center,
mm-hmm.
and you can trust them to get the best plants that grow in your area.
That's it.
As a businessman, I am concerned about plants. You know, I see it already. I mean, in the Monrovia Nursery. We are a customer in Monrovia Nursery. Love Monrovia Nursery. I was on the retail council when they originally started their tagging promotion and pot turned into that green pot. They sell online, but have to get it shipped with my load, my delivery, or one of the local garden centers that sell Monrovia plants. Now, the problem with that is they're just piggybacking my delivery, but where, you know, we have to have $3,000 minimum, or they're picking out a plant where it's from California and we only get a delivery once a year. And it's a little bit confusing, but I'm also wary that when do they change that? When do they start putting it in a box? I'll tell you what, my glow-in-the-dark petunias, they were in a clamshell pack. They had a little, you know, little disc to cut on top of the soil. And they were in a really cool packaging box. Plants didn't come in great, you know, but he's going to figure it out. My grandparents, where the family garden center is Richfield Farms, which is in Clifton, New Jersey. It's North Jersey, about 5 miles outside of New York City. And that they used to say, the grocery store do it like we do because it was farm market. They'll never be able to do it. It's like, well, guess what, Grandma, they do. And like they're in over 100 years there, but they had to adapt. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of having to come up with a new trick.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
Like, but so I don't know if those plants will be able to be delivered economically when something's bigger than a 2 gallon pot.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know. And Bluestone Perennials, you mentioned, as far as a supplier, they used to be a wholesale nursery.
Right.
And that, and I hate to rattle some off, but Perennial Farm.
Right.
I personally stopped buying from Perennial Farm because of that.
Okay.
You know, it's like, look, you know, you're going to have your label all over my plant and that I'm now going to be competing directly with my supplier.
Right.
But we're doing that in the hard goods arena with Scott's, I had a little talk a few years ago with Jonathan Green. It's like, look, you know, why, you know, I had a customer come in and that they didn't add their freight for what it would cost, but still, I shouldn't have to compete with my suppliers.
Absolutely.
But it's the way of the world. We're just going to have to figure out. Ernest Wertheim, do you know who I'm talking about? Ernest Wertheim, for those of you that are in the garden center business, he was the absolute guru, and that he passed away a few years ago, and that he was a garden center consultant, and basically was a laid out garden centers and some of the most famous garden centers around. He was German, and I went to this management clinic when I was a youngster, and that this is when there was no such thing as Sam's Club or BJ's, that Carrefour, going back, the shop of Carrefour, Carrefour was a French hypermarket. Don't be giving me that look just because you're a youngster.
Never heard of it. Carrefour?
Carrefour was the predecessor of all of the club markets.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know, and it terrified the garden center, and rightly so, because Sam's Club sells an awful lot of 2 cubic foot Miracle-Gro potting soil.
Okay.
And we sell none because we don't carry it.
Right.
Point being, is I had breakfast with him, and it was like 7 in the morning, and that where, you know, he and I were there, and he was giving a talk that I was at, and we just sat down, and I asked him, I said, how do we compete against the hypermarkets? And the question would be today is, how do we compete against the internet? And don't you know, simple answer, you know, you're still learning, you dope. We just have to be better managers. And ultimately, that's what we have to be. And that if that's by price increases, the only way you can make money is increase your margins or lower your expenses. But you can't po if you lower, you know, your expenses. I don't know. It's but... That's another show. All right. We've got to take a break. We'll be back in the garden right after this.
Spring is here, and people have a lot of questions about weed and feed. There's one simple answer. BioAdvanced 5-in-1 Weed and Feed. Just one application kills lawn weeds and prevents new weeds and crabgrass up to 6 months. And if crabgrass is already growing, it kills that too. Plus, 5-in-1 feeds and greens your lawn. BioAdvanced 5-in-1 Weed and Feed. Get more from the blue bag.
Here's the dirt on potting mixes. They're not all created equal. Espoma Organic Potting Mix gives roots the ideal balance of air and moisture. It contains a special blend of beneficial mycorrhiza to help grow stronger roots, bigger plants, and more bountiful blooms. Try Espoma Organic Potting Mix indoors and out for all your potted flowers, vegetables, and you'll see why it's the best. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. Organic potting mix from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929. Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. So we live in one of the absolute best areas for botanical gardens, for arboretums. What would you say is your fave in the area?
Well, a few years ago, I visited the Japanese garden, which the name has totally going over my head.
That's all right.
But I had a great time because I love how it's laid out. Now, there are some other garden center, excuse me. There are some other botanicals that I want to go to. Of course, Longwood Gardens, a big one. Right. I was at the Mount Cuba Center last year in Winterthur, and I have to say I like Mount Cuba better.
Yeah, okay.
It's just,
good.
It was beautiful. I want to go see the cemetery garden. I forget which cemetery.
Yes. No, no, no. Yeah. Greg Tapper was a guest on the show.
Yes.
I'm drawing a blank too. Come on, Julio, think. You're my second brain.
Oh my goodness. It was in by the park.
I'll note in a second. Keep talking, so I'll look it up while nobody's looking.
I heard an interview from him from Garden DC podcast with my fellow garden communicator, Kathy Jentz. So I'm putting a plug in for her. She had him as a guest, and he was just describing how people come to the cemetery garden and how it's so peaceful and whatnot. And I'm kind of interested in that, not in a
Laurel Hill Cemetery.
That's what it is.
Julio and I went there.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Listen to, you know, when we saw the I guess it's Rocky's wife has a tombstone
there.
But she's, you know, and that the chair is up in the tree.
Yeah.
But it's part of the movie scene. They left it.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a picture of him like this.
No.
That's at the art museum. But that's a very cool thing that, and that they have at Halloween, they have, who is it? They have the Dead Milkmen do a concert on top of the mausoleum.
Yeah. That's
crazy.
It is very cool. And it's online on your phone.
Yes.
You can get a tour by just downloading their app. And it is an amazing place because it's right outside of Philadelphia, and that you can see Philadelphia from there, and that it just is old historical. It's just very cool.
Yes.
Very cool.
So it blends that history along with the plants.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong.
Julio and I went to Bartram Gardens.
Oh, yeah. Historical.
Yeah.
Okay.
Beautiful, yeah.
Yeah.
Stole a cutting of a Frank Linnea tree.
That's right.
Didn't take. Although, I didn't tell you, Julio. I gave Julio a Frank Linnea tree.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
15 years ago. Yeah, 15 years ago. Yeah. I'm going to put one at the house on the corner of the deck. That Frank Linnea tree has got a gorgeous flower in the summertime, white. It almost looks like a, I don't know, would you say like an orange blossom, but a big orange blossom.
Big.
Yeah, and it's a great plant, named for Ben Franklin. Bartram Gardens, the history of Bartram Gardens. We could go on for hours about that.
Yeah.
I have I guess it would be emotional attachment to Grounds for Sculpture.
Okay.
Very much so. The gardens, we're way over time, aren't we, Sam? You'll figure it out because you're a genius.
Be a short break coming up, that's for sure.
We're very short.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. regular listeners may know, my wife hers and passed away a few years ago, and that where I was alone at Grounds for Sculpture, and it just gave me encouragement to keep on. You know, it's away at 57, and that it was a tough time, but that garden, like, was just did it because of the sculptures, because of the so many of the sculptures were like living people real, and that there was also modern, let's just say it was written in my life.
Absolutely.
And gardens are like that. Gardens are like that.
They're a vibe from the parking lot. Like, as soon as you get to the parking lot, you can tell, you know, that you're going to go into
it's
a good
something
experience.
Special.
Absolutely.
It's something special. Yeah,
especially at Grounds for Sculpture.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And nighttime, oh, my gosh, man.
Yeah. The
great date night.
Absolutely. Yeah, date night. Sam, we kept telling you, you know, I know that you've got a girl and everything else, but you got to do maintenance.
Yeah. You got to put in some work.
Anyway, if you have not gotten your copy of the Garden Passport for this area, and Grounds for Sculpture is in New Jersey, so we're talking about New Jersey, Delaware, Philadelphia, in this 30-mile radius, that there are bunches and bunches of places where you can go. I encourage you to go to just look for American Garden Capital, just Google it, and that you'll find it. And that passport, it gives you a list. And my girl and I, we actually do have a passport where we have gone to, and what we get them stamped just like you would at an airport.
It's pretty awesome.
It's very cool.
Right. That link is americasgardencapital.org.
Thank you, sir.
Check them out.
Thank you, sir. All right. We've got another break. Like I said, this show could be 2 hours. All right, Sam. I appreciate you, you know. Yeah. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. Well, we are back.
Yes, we are. You're here.
Wendy, thank you for joining us today. It was a good time. Lots of laughing. Aaron, thank you for setting this up. I appreciate that. And Julio, as always, we'll see you in the garden.
We'll see you in the garden, then.